in this series on prayer. So it's been great to just be doing it, praying, and to have had testimonies of answers to prayer. I hope that you found the messages in the series so far helpful to your prayer lives. And you're going to have the opportunity to share from your own prayer experience of what you find works for you, your prayer methodology or strategies, in a few weeks' time. We're calling it prepared. If you can get to the next slide. We need to be prepared, and to be prepared for prayer, we need to have some sort of idea of how it works and have methods and strategies. And so that's 3 Sundays' time, Sunday the 6th of September, you're going to have a chance to share your prayer strategy. I have an anchor person lined up to share their strategy, their prayer methodology. If you would like to also come and share something about what you find works for you in prayer, why don't you come and speak to me later on or through the week, and we can put all the pieces together for that Sunday. I think it would be great to hear what works for different people. So it's not going to be testimonies about answers to prayer. It's going to be about what actually works for you in prayer, what you find helpful when you pray. I have a bit of a hidden agenda, I must confess, with this prepared thing, is that we're moving house that weekend. So I'm thinking it's going to make life a whole lot easier for me to not be preaching on that day. But also I think there would be real value in having other people sharing what works for them. So with our planned house move, I put a big ask on Facebook earlier this week. And I actually used that wording. I said, I've got a big ask. We're going to be moving house on that weekend. And I'd really appreciate it if anyone's got a trailer that we could use and muscles to help us move. The place we're moving to, it's got a little bridge on the driveway, so you can't take a big truck with stuff in there. So we're going to have to do it lots of little loads. And I'm pleased to say that there were responses of saying we have a trailer available and we have muscles available. And other people have also said so. And a bucky available. So it's all come together with putting a big ask out there. So what is the biggest ask that you have made? Biggest thing that you've asked of somebody? Doesn't have to be a material thing. It can be asking them to help in some way. And did you get that? What's the biggest thing you've asked for and actually received? I think one of the biggest asks I've made was asking Gary Player for his golf ball. I was with my dad probably close to 30 years ago at the Victoria Country Club watching Gary Player in an exhibition round of golf. And he won and he ended so well on the 18th, a great approach shot, sunk the putt for a birdie. He ended really well. And you know what sportsmen are like? They can be quite superstitious about their equipment and things. So I think he was probably quite keen on that ball that he had just played so well with. And he has this little lighty coming up to him and saying, Mr. Player, please could I have your autograph on that golf ball? And he kind of reluctantly looked at it and took it out and signed it and gave me his autographed Titleist 3 golf ball, which I was very proud to receive. I thought that was quite a big ask, quite bold of me to, as a kid, to go and make that ask. And so we're talking today about big asks in prayer, asking God big things. So what big things have you asked of God and received or felt that you didn't receive? And are there any big things in your life that you feel like maybe you should be asking God, but you just don't feel right about asking Him? That's what we're going to talk about today. I think one of the biggest things in history that I've heard of that was asked for and given was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. You know, it's one of the ancient, one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, a glorious, majestic thing, these gardens of Babylon. But it was King Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Queen Amytis, who had come from the land of Media. She was Median, she wasn't Babylonian. And she was missing her homeland. And said to her husband, please, won't you bring some of the garden beds of Media here to Babylon? And so around 600 BC, he had like half of Media brought in and established these glorious gardens in Babylon. I think that's a pretty big ask to be given. But we also need to make big asks of God. And the big ask is an acronym. Ask is an acronym for ask, seek, and knock. And it's an invitation from God to you and me to ask Him, to make big asks. The key scripture from which we get this is in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 10. And it's Jesus speaking, and He says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. We have in this passage an invitation and a promise. The first part, Jesus is inviting us to ask Him for things in prayer. And this invitation seems to get progressively bolder and more active. If you think about it, asking can be a fairly safe thing, a fairly easy thing to ask. To seek becomes a more active thing. And to actually go and knock on someone's door is a far more bold thing. So there's a progression in this invitation. The second part is the promise that whoever asks will receive, whoever seeks will find, and whoever knocks will have the door opened. Doesn't say maybe, does it? It says will. It's a promise from God. And who is it for? For some of the people that ask? What does it say? Everyone. It's a promise from God. It's an invitation to us and then a promise from God. But this big ask is sandwiched between two safeguards in the forms of parables of Jesus. Chapter 11 starts off with the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. He gives them the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's model prayer of how we should pray, which we've touched on in the series already. And then he gets to the first parable, which is about our persistent prayers. It's a parable which is quite far removed from our culture and our customs in this day and age. And Jesus tells a story about this guy who has a friend pitching up at his house at midnight, wanting a place to stay. And that was fine, but the problem was he found his pantry was bare. He didn't have any food to give him, and that would have been a big no-no in that day and age to send the guy to bed on an empty stomach. And so what he did, which was apparently the norm in those days, was to go to his neighbor and say, I've got this friend that's arrived. Please can I borrow a few loaves of bread to feed him? So he goes asking, he goes seeking, and he goes knocking on his neighbor's door. The neighbor and his family have already gone to sleep. And so the neighbor hears this, hears his friend, and he says, we've already all gone to bed. I'm not getting up to help you. At least he thinks that. But Jesus says, because of, and I love the wording, this guy's shameless audacity. He says, all right, because of your shameless audacity, I'll get up. And he goes and gives him some food to go back to bed. And so Jesus is exalting this guy's shameless audacity and how he went and asked as an example of how we should ask God with shameless audacity. I don't know about you, but if someone described something I had done as having been shamelessly audacious, I think I'll take offense. I think I'll take exception to that. I don't think it's a positive thing. But here Jesus is commending this as a positive thing of how we should ask God. As I thought about this term, shameless audacity, the Jewish word chutzpah came into my mind. I think chutzpah sums up shameless audacity pretty well. And if you don't know the term chutzpah, I heard a joke which I think defines it pretty well. Excuse me. There was this little old Jewish lady who used to sell pretzels on the street corner for just 50 cents per pretzel. And there was this guy who worked in a building just down the road, and every day at lunchtime he would leave his office building and come walking past her corner. And he would pop 50 cents on the table. But he never took a pretzel. And this went on day after day, year after year. And finally, after a few years of this happening, as he came and put his 50 cents down on the table, this little old lady said to him, "Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your business. You are one of my best customers. But just so that you know, since you started doing business with me, the price of the pretzels has actually gone up to 75 cents each." That's chutzpah. That's shameless audacity. The New Living Translation translates this as shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. So I guess this guy was knocking on the door, and he just wasn't going, he wasn't getting the message. He wasn't going to bed. He just carried on knocking, seeking and asking. That got the response. And shameless persistence reminds me of the widow. Remember the persistent widow? The other parable of Jesus is told a few chapters later in Luke chapter 18. And in those days, again, the custom was that widows were the least powerful, the lowest in society. And there was this widow who was being unfairly taxed, and she was going to the judge to seek justice. But Jesus said that this judge was an unjust, heartless judge. And the way it worked is that he would have been attending first to those who had power, who had influence, who could scratch his back in return. But this widow just went persistently every day, shouting out, calling for some justice from this judge. And finally, because of her persistence, the judge said, "Okay, let's just deal with this lady, deal with her case, and get her out of our hair so that we can carry on." And Jesus says that our Father in heaven is so much more than that. He's not unjust, he's just. He's not heartless, he has a heart of mercy. And so how much more will he respond to our persistent prayers? And so this is what Jesus is saying here. When we ask big, we need to come with persistent prayers. We need to come with shameless audacity, because that's going to get his attention. I love in that Luke 18 passage, what the wording that Jesus says to his disciples is, pray and never give up. If you've got something that's been a burden on your heart, and maybe you've prayed and not seen a result, Jesus says, pray and never give up. I shared over the past couple of weeks how delighted I was that my sister has come back to faith in the Lord after many years of being apart from Him. And you know what? I've been praying persistently. I still pray for the rest of my family. And it was in God's time that He answered and worked in her heart and mind. The second slice in the big ask sandwich, the second safeguard that Jesus goes on to tell after our key passage, is about God's goodness. It tells the parable about a child going to their father asking for bread. And the father, Jesus said, that father's not going to give him a stone. Or if the child had asked for a fish, the father's not going to give him a snake or a scorpion. And Jesus says, even though we are imperfect as fathers, we know how to give good gifts. So how much more our Father in heaven, who is perfect, our God who is love, how much more does He know how to give us, His children, good gifts? And Jesus says He wants to give us good gifts. And so if you think about these two slices on the big ask sandwich working together, there's our persistence, shameless audacity, going and asking big. But on the other side is the goodness of God, our loving Heavenly Father. And when you get these things working together, you see that it's actually about relationship. It's us pushing into God, trusting that He is a good, loving God who knows how to give good gifts, and the goodness of God meeting our persistence. Preparing it, I thought of an example with our daughter, Aaliyah, who is now 4, and since the age of 2, she's been pestering Stacy and I, asking to do ballet classes. She's seen ballet on these girls' movies, and she wanted to do ballet. But we didn't just say yes straight away. We thought, let's just wait and see if she's really serious about it. Let's wait for the right timing. She's still a little bit small. And let's just test her heart on this. And she's gone on persistently asking us to do ballet. And so just in the last month, we have got her started in ballet classes. But that process has helped us to test her heart. It's helped her to depend on us, to trust us, and to see us giving her something good in return. And so it's given me a bit of insight how this thing works with us praying to God. It's not just about the thing we're praying for. It's about the relationship, the deepening of a relationship as we ask. And so it's about relationships, not demands. And I don't like to bash other people in ministry and to speak negatively, but I've got to speak a word of caution about a Christian book at the moment on prayer, which is advocating taking demands to God, or taking things to God in a demanding, manipulative way. It's currently the best-selling Christian book on prayer, called The Circle Maker, by an American pastor by the name of Mark Batterson. Now, I don't know him. I'm sure he loves the Lord and sincerely serves Him. But this book, I've got to say, I think has got it wrong. The basis of the book is about a first century BC Jewish rabbi by the name of Honi. And this guy Honi, this is a true story historically. At this time, there was a drought in the land of Israel. And so Honi went and he stood in the dust, drew a circle around himself, and said to the Lord, "I'm not leaving this circle until it rains." And he stood there, and he stood there, and he stood there. After a while, it started to drizzle. And he said to God, "God, that's not the kind of rain I'm talking about. I want it to pour down." A little bit later, a torrential downpour came down. And so Honi said, "God, that's too much rain. It's going to just wash everything away. Just calm it down to a steady, soaking rain." And then the rain eased to a steady, soaking rain. And this guy was a big hero in the town. What Mark Batterson fails to mention is that he was actually kicked out of the synagogue for dishonoring God in this way. And so this author advocates that we should do this, that we should draw circles around our marriages, our children, our finances, our businesses, our health. Draw these circles and demand that God gives us what we want. And I'm afraid that's not what Jesus is saying. That's not how this works. It's through relationship. So, we've seen the big ask has an invitation to us and a promise. We've seen it sandwiched between our persistent prayers and the goodness of God. But is it a blank check? Does that mean we can ask for anything, seek anything, knock for anything, and get what we want? I have here a blank check. I haven't used my checkbook in about 6 or 7 years, but I looked in my drawer and there it was, and I've dusted it off. I actually went into the bank this week and I said, "This is like fresh off the ark. Is it still valid?" And they said, "Yes, it's still fine." So I have a blank check to give to somebody today. Anyone interested? It's still linked to my existing account, which doesn't have a lot of money, but there is some money there. Yeah, I will sign it. So I've got a blank check that I'm really going to give to somebody today, and I will sign it. But terms and conditions apply. And it's the same in prayer. It's the same with the big ask of God. So there are the T's and C's. Can you all read it, the small print? Great, you got that. Okay, moving on. No, joking. We'll go through these now quickly. There are terms and conditions that the Word of God sets for our asking Him. The first one is that we have to be right with God. John 15:7 says, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So there's the ask, but within parameters. Remaining in him and his words in you, it's about a right relationship with God. The next TNC is ask in God's will. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that we have what we ask of him. So again, it's an invitation to a big ask. But the term and condition there is, it's got to be in his will. How do we get to know his will? By being in relationship with him. Not by drawing circles around ourselves. The third one is that we have to ask with faith. James 1:6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. We've got to believe him when we're asking. Like our daughter came asking us persistently. I don't think she would have carried on doing that if she didn't believe that sometime we were actually going to give her what she wanted. And so we don't ask persistently, not believing that God is going to give us what we're asking. We press into him, asking persistently, but believing him in him, having faith in him that he is a good God. And lastly, we have to ask with pure motives. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so if we're just asking God for selfish, self-centered things, that disqualifies us. But if we're asking, like Kim mentioned earlier, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then all these other things will be added. That's part of the terms and conditions. It's seeking things for God's kingdom, things in his will, things that he wants to bless us with. And then we qualify. And so with this big ask, there's a big invitation for us to go and ask God for things. And the invitation is for everyone. But the promise is for those who qualify by sticking to the T's and C's. That's the key thing in this. We've got to be in right relationship with God. We've got to be asking in his will with the right motives. And then Jesus says, ask whatever you want and you're going to get it. And so if you're asking God and you get a no answer, you've got to know it's because your loving Father in heaven has something better for you. Not that he doesn't want to give you a good gift, but because what you are asking is not the best that he has for you. It's like a child asking their parents if they can go and ride their bike on the road after dark. I mean, what good parents is going to let the children do that? Even if it's what the child desperately wants, the parents are going to say no because they love them, because they're being good to them. As parents, we intuitively know that. It's the same with our Father in heaven and us. And so we come back to the check. Now you have an idea of the terms and conditions that apply. And if you would like this check, I'm going to invite you now to make your big ask. But you should know before you do that, that on this table, I've written down what I want to give you, what this check is to be used for. It's something good. It's something that's going to bless you. But it's something that I would like you to have. And so, anyone interested? Pop up your hand. Bianca, what do you think? But you have to say what you think it's for. What do you think I want you to have? What are you asking for that you think I might want you to have? That's a very noble thing. But I thought I'd keep it even simpler than that. Something that will bless you. Sorry, Kim. Bob's. No? Better than that, I think. Dez. Not a dinner. Nelly. With what? It is a specific thing. No, no such luck. It's worth a try. Nelly. You on the right track? What would that be? Worship CD. CD. And what value would that be for? So praise and worship CD for 150 rand. So Nelly, Nikki can come up and receive. I did hint at it last week. I said you should all get praise and worship CDs to play in the car with your kids. I don't have to put only on the end with you. I can trust it. Well, then next. We'll leave that to her conscience. So that's just a little illustration to show you how it works and hopefully to make it stick. God wants to bless us with good things, but we're going to be asking for things that we know He wants to give us as well. And when we get that right, man, He can bless us with anything that we ask for, anything that He wants to. And so, how's that been going with you? Have you been asking God for big things? Asking for things that you think He might want to give you? And if you haven't been getting the answer, the breakthrough, have you just then forgotten about it? Or have you pressed on with the shameless audacity of Desiree asking for a spa session? Yes, Bob's? Please do. Do you want to come up?
For those who don't know, I'm in the process of making a gluten-free kitchen in my house so that my gluten-free business will grow, the word exponentially. I had a big ask from someone in the church for some seed finance for me to help me buy a stove, which they gave me. And I knew the stove that I wanted, and I knew the price. That's what the price they gave me. And for whatever reason, time passed, and the kitchen didn't get finished in the time that I thought it was going to happen. And the one day, there was a possible opportunity for me to get some additional finance, because in my mind, I was thinking, I need a bigger stove than this one. I need a wider stove which has got more air so I can bake bigger quantities. It was about 4,000 Rand more than the stove that I wanted. And it was actually totally unrealistic, really. But the one day I went to blow my eyes because I was there to go to the dentist, and I thought, I'm going to have a look at this stove. And I looked at it and I thought, Yana, this is what I need. And so I waited for this possible opportunity that didn't happen. So the 4,000 Rand didn't come. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, maybe I've been a little bit arrogant to ask for a bigger stove. I'll go with the one that I initially wanted to get. But time was just also the issue with me. And the one day I got a message from my friend, forgive me, but it's so big. I got a message from my friend who'd been to Joburg to see her daughter. And she said to me, Bobs, I've got a surprise for you. But I'm not going to tell you until I see you. I thought, oh, okay, maybe it was, we were discussing enamel bowls that I need for my business. I thought, maybe she's found some bowls in Joburg. Yay. Anyway, the next day or off, day or two after that, I didn't pester her. She sent me a WhatsApp to say, I actually need to send you a picture because I'm concerned that you're going to go and buy this and then I've got it for you. You went to Joburg to see her daughter, and her daughter had been given a, you know, these fancy gas stoves with the big oven. It's got a funny name. Yes. And so in her kitchen was standing the 8-series thermofan that Barb's needed. And she took a picture and said, here it is, your stove. So I'm then talking to my sister, and she said, how are you going to get down from Joburg? I said, no, I don't know. She said, use my credit card. No problem. Just get it there. But for whatever reason, the stove's still in Joburg. But I have faith when there is no evidence, it's mine.
Morning, everyone. I also want to share a testimony about a big ask. This is not recent. When we had to move from the house we were in Panorama Road because of being put on the market, we had fortunately, after 13 years of having to rent, found ourselves in a position where we could purchase, provided we could get something, obviously, within our budget, which wasn't huge. But we prayed about it, and we had a look at various places and found a place which we thought was absolutely perfect at the top of Morecambe Road. It was on 4.5 acres, brilliant view over the whole of Maritzburg, swimming pool, beautiful main house, huge workshop area which would have been ideal for our business, 3-bedroom cottage which needed some work but would have been ideal for Paul and Stacey, and we had it all lined up. And the price was extremely good. It was actually a deceased estate. So we went in and had a look, and we made our offer. And within a day or two, we got news from the agent that a policeman up in Yolundi had been promised by the deceased owner that he could have first ask on the property. Anyway, to cut a long story short, things started going backwards and forwards, and I got a very uneasy feeling. And I said to Murray and to Aaron, who was still at home with us at the time, that it was time to walk away from this. But everything seemed so absolutely perfect. And they were extremely disappointed and very reticent about walking away, but I said to them, no. If this is not right, then God's got something better. And a couple of days later, I met up with a friend, bumped into her actually in the shop, and she asked how things were going. And I said to her, well, this was the story. So she said, tell me, have you really prayed specifically to God? So I said, well, what do you mean? She said, have you told him exactly what you want? I said, but you know, that seems very cheeky, as you say, what shameless audacity. And she said, no, but seriously, you know, if you're really wanting something, you need to be specific. So I thought, all right, well, let's give this a try. Anyway, we got together, Murray and Erin and myself, because the three of us were buying in together, and Murray gave his requirements. Erin made mention of what she would like. Mine was a simple thing, that it would be nice if we could stay in Hilton because we'd had the same telephone number for over 20 years. What a stupid thing. Anyway, that was my thing, because I'm quite a simple person anyway. And the agent then came to us and said, oh, have I shown you this place in First Avenue? So I said, oh, well, that's just down the road here. She said, no, not First Lane, First Avenue. So I said, no, where's that? Anyway, she explained. Murray and I got the directions and went there to meet her. And when we pulled into the road, I said to Murray, oh, I actually do know the road because I know the people from across the road. Anyway, we drove into this jungle of a place. The place had been vandalized. It hadn't been occupied for 3 months at the end of summer, so the grass was yay long. But the house had potential. And we decided what he was asking was more than we could afford, but the agent said, it's been on the market a while. I think he's desperate to sell. So make an offer. So we offered him 250,000. This is 7.5 acres. Okay, with a 6-bedroom, 4-bathroom house. Okay, which needed a lot of work. Oh yeah, a double garage, workshop up the top. You know, it had everything we needed for our home, for Erin to have her privacy and her space, and for the business. So we put in an offer of 250, being again quite cheeky. The guy said, give me 260 and you can have it. And that's the property we've now been at for 13 years. It's taken a lot of work to get the place looking nice, but God knew what we needed. Because we were specific, because we dared to put out the big ask. And in looking back, I didn't realize it at the time, but in looking back, God gave us everything that each of the three of us asked for and more. So don't be afraid, because God will listen. And I'm so pleased with your sermon this morning, Paul, because it's so spot on. Sometimes we feel that we're asking too much of God. How can we? Mm. He's such a big God.
Yeah.
We can never ask too much of him, provided it's within his will. Mm. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks, Norma. So I think this thing of asking big of God, asking with shameless audacity, flies in the face of those of us of British descent. It flies in the face of our culture. It seems disrespectful and irreverent to go and ask big of God with shameless audacity. But this is what Jesus is saying we should do. This is kingdom culture, not our culture. And this is the invitation that he makes to us, to go and ask big. But I like that you picked up on the details, asking specifically, because God knows the details. We're not presenting him with any new information. When we bring him specifics, we're committing our hearts to something that we're trusting him for. That's what is involved. And when you put that on the line, that God, oh, this is exactly what I'm hoping for, please would you provide this for us, it's deepening the relationship with God. And so there's a wonderful promise here, that those who ask, seek, and knock will receive. Will you take it up? Will you take the invitation and ask something big of God? And will you do it keeping with the terms and conditions of basically being in right relationship with him? And so let's come to God with shameless audacity and persistence, knowing that he is a good, loving Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. I don't think that I have a special hotline to God. Prayer is available to all of us. But if you would like me to pray with you for something, I'd love to do that. And so I'll be here for at the end of the service now if anyone wants to come and pray with me for something big. Yes, Pete. Would you care to elaborate? Pete's asking if there's anybody who needs a car. Nelly? That sounds very promising, Pete. So, Nelly, and if there's anyone else who's needing a car, please come and speak to Pete. He seems to know more about this than me. Okay, so we've come to the end of the service. Just to let you know, I should have mentioned it earlier with the announcements. Christ Church, Hilton, which is the old Trinity Church, is having a ladies' tea and event on Saturday the 12th of September. I've got little flyers on the table in the foyer, so if you're interested, please go and grab. And they're having Karen Tocknell as the guest speaker, who I believe has an amazing testimony and story to share. So if you're interested in that, it's about her and her husband Neil's story and how God was in that with them. Go and grab one off the foyer table, but then it's up to you to contact them and book. Okay. Yeah. So let's just close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time that we've had to come. come and meet with you. Thank you again, Jesus, that you are our closest friend. And as we leave here this morning, we pray that you would go with us, that you would be with us step by step through the week ahead. We pray for a deepening of our relationships as we come to you with big asks, trusting that you are our loving Father who knows how to give good gifts. And we pray not that we would just be asking for ourselves, but that you would guide us as to who you want us to be ministering around us. Won't you send gifts through us to the people that you want to bless this week? And so go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. Let's go and have some tea and coffee, and if you're